You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And I'm Joe Weber.
Back in the studio, Joe Weber. What luck.
I'm glad you guys could Skype me into this.
This is a crystal clear Skype.
I agree.
We are very
Joe's doing the live delay.
We're very lucky boys to have Joe Weber back in the studio, because in this episode, we are going to be continuing our 30-part series of favorite players and least favorite players on every franchise. We're going to be doing the Milwaukee Brewers, Joe's hometown team.
Is this part six?
Something like that. We had a special edition last week when Eric Acosta was guest hosting, so I don't know if that counts. But
can this be the real 50th episode? The true 50.
The true 50, because last week was 50, but Waylon wasn't here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
This is true 50.
This is the true 50.
You looked at me like you were pissed.
Come on,
at
man.
Me
for what the fuck, dude?
I'm sorry, dude. I won't let you miss any future episodes.
Yeah, man. Next time in Arizona, come with me.
Before we get into the rest of the show, which will also include fun topics like MVP talk and headline talk, I guess. Let's give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio for hosting us as always. You can support Boardwalk by visiting ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the support our artist link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. Boardwalk gets a small percentage. We get a small percentage. It's win-win. Also, thanks to our distribution partners, Off the Bench Baseball. You can check out their weekly baseball analysis at offthebenchbaseball.com. And I think that's a good segue into our first topic because it's inspired by the good gentleman of Off the Bench Baseball.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you want to talk us in, Waylon?
So someone, was it Max? I don't remember, posted that Jose Ramirez and Mike Trout had very similar numbers this year.
It was Sean from Off the Bench.
But I'm
this
sorry,
was
Max. And I'm sorry, Sean. Sorry, Max. You would never have posted that.
This was tweeted by a guy named Sammy Reed.
Oh, okay. So he posted originally a tweet. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had pretty similar numbers this year. Not war. Mark Trout's almost a full win ahead of Ramirez. I'm looking on Baseball Reference. I'm looking at that right now. He's 0.8 ahead, which is significant, I think, not quite halfway through the season to be 0.8 ahead. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But otherwise, they're like slash lines, power numbers, stolen bases, right? Wasn't that one?
Yeah, so
looked
it's
pretty similar.
So it was projected for the end of the season, their current pace.
That it was a projection.
Yeah,
so I didn't pay that much attention.
So Mike Trout is hitting .327. Jose Ramirez is hitting .296, but they're projected for 48 and 49 home runs respectively, 100 and 111 RBIs respectively, and 27 and 26 stolen bases respectively.
Okay.
And so I guess the question that Sean posed is who would win MVP if they kept up their current paces? And I guess who should win MVP based on their current paces?
Yeah. Okay, so the OPS. So just look at the slash line. Ramirez is 100 points behind Mike Trout. But they're both above 1,000 or however you say that. They're 1.0 versus 1.1, essentially, currently.
I guess that's based mostly on more walks for Trout, that difference?
I mean, his batting average is 30
points
higher.
Yeah, and I guess
higher.
His batting average,
so anyway,
yeah.
I think, well, I mean, predicting what, I feel like that Trout, it's like a, there's already, and there has been since like his third season, a Trout fatigue. Happened with A-Rod, happened to Pujols, and I think it's happening with Trout. So I could see them giving it to Ramirez. And also I think that sometimes people get all excited about infielders versus outfielders, even though Trout plays a premium outfield position. I'm just saying, I can see a world where Ramirez gets the MVP.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those sort of potential narrative situations where, you know, the Indians make the playoffs and the Angels don't.
Sure, the playoff thing.
Also, I do think Ramirez has, like, kind of a compelling story as, like, basically a utility man. Like, yeah, not a great prospect, but a utility man who has turned himself into an MVP candidate.
Which is great. But I don't, do you think that, so I think that there's a world in which he can win it if the Angels miss the playoffs and the other stuff I just said. But do you, I think Trout's still the MVP if those numbers are hold up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's got to be, right? Like,
yeah,
I think he's still on pace to set the single season WAR record.
I'm pretty sure he's pretty. Yeah, I checked like a week ago, and he was still on pace to break it.
So he's like on. He's having an all-time season.
Oh, we should say position player WAR. Position I looked this player up because there was like a pitcher in like the late 19th century, early 20th century that had like an 18 WAR or something.
Yeah, well, certainly since Babe Ruth time, I guess.
Well, Babe
as
Ruth
well.
Has the current record. Yeah.
But like,
oh yes, you're right. There hasn't been. Well, no. It doesn't matter. It's definitely a positional player WAR.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, Trout is on pace for the best season post Babe Ruth. Do you know what I mean? Even if he doesn't break Babe Ruth's record, like, he's gonna outpace Barry Bonds and whoever else, Alex Rodriguez, like whoever
else. Cal Ripken's 91 season.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is he not MVP?
But here's the crazy thing. So, like, Jose Ramirez is on pace for 10 wins above replacement, which is like an insane number. Yeah. Like that would win MVP in any universe that Mike Trout does not exist in.
Well, he's probably going to be better than any NL player WAR-wise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it's like assuming they stay healthy.
Right.
But here's the crazy thing. So Mike Trout finished fourth in the MVP voting last year, and he has the same WAR right now that he got last year.
But he missed
year.
Some time last year.
Yeah, so he missed 40 games.
Yeah.
But he won the MVP in 2014. That was the first time he won it. And he was worth 7.6 wins in 157 games. So far this season, he's worth 6.6 wins in 80 fewer games.
That's insane.
It's unreal.
Last year is the only year that it made sense that he didn't win MVP. I know this is repeated over and over again. Yeah, I get it. You missed 40 games, and Jose Altuve had a great season. So did Judge. So, like, I get it. Trout doesn't win last year.
How many MVPs do you think Mike Trout will win before
he has two right now?
Yeah, he has two right now.
And he's 26, 27?
Yeah, this is his age 26 season.
I think he'll win 5.
So you think
it's fewer than Bonds.
Do you think that's because he'll slow down or because they'll stop awarding?
I think it's Trout fatigue.
But he hasn't been on a team that's like good yet. You know what I mean? Like if the Angels get it together and make the playoffs 3 years in a row, or if he goes somewhere else, goes to the Phillies in free agency, and they like There is still room for him to be the leader of a playoff team, of the best team in the league, of a World Series team. You know what I mean? Like, there's places that he can go where even if he doesn't have as good of a season as he's having this year, he could still be the narrative MVP and the best player in the league.
I
could also see him winning, like, one when he's 40, you know what I mean? Because they're like, look at this, like when he's not the best player in the league, when Yoán Moncada, say, is the best player in the league. But they like, they're like, this dude who's 40 years old hit 300 with 30 home runs. Like, he's the MVP.
Oh, sure.
You know, he's the veteran leader or whatever.
Because then that's a narrative MVP. Yeah, especially if his team, like a team that shouldn't be making the playoffs, makes the play. All comes together.
Maybe he wins like 5 regular MVPs and 2 narrative MVPs.
Those are the Ted Williams MVPs. If you look at Ted Williams, his 400 season, he didn't win MVP.
Right.
He won MVP on like off years, and it happened to Stan Musial a couple times too. So I can see that happening. That's a good point. Is like his, like the 7.6 WAR season. I don't know. That's still pretty good, but it's obviously not his best year.
Yeah. It's his worst year.
Yeah, and he won MVP.
Well, except for last year when he was hurt.
So I could see that happening, but also he played for six seasons and should already have five MVPs.
Yeah, but he... So if your guess is five and he wins this year, he only needs two more. And he still has his, like, virtually his entire prime to go, plus...
virtually his entire prime. Like, yeah, I know.
It's crazy. I would say my guess would be, like, my over-under maybe would be...
Five
would be
low.
6.5.
I would have said it... Yeah, I think that's a really good over-under. I think six is... How many did Bonds win? Seven or eight? I don't know. But I just think the thing with Trout is that, like, if next year Stanton or Judge hits over 60 with a decent batting average or on-base percentage, they're going to beat Trout even if Trout has the same year as this year. Like, you know what? Like, I think it's easy to beat Trout if you have just, like, an anomalous... Like, Josh Donaldson. Like, he was almost as good as Trout, and that was, like, probably the closest race, like, legitimately.
But, yeah.
Like, I think they're just aching to give it to someone else.
I think they are, and those guys are all going to pop up. But, like, there's a difference, right, between somebody who should win MVP, like, 4 years in a row and only wins it two out of the years, and somebody who should win MVP 10 years in a row and wins it five out of the years. Like, there's not the same level of fatigue, I don't think, because they can, break it up. The voters can break it up.
Yeah.
And say, like, and there's also, like, I don't know, I just think... Like, Trout is LeBron level, you know what I mean? Where people, like, at some point, it's going to be hard to underappreciate him because he's going to be universally acknowledged as, like, one of the five best players ever. And, like, LeBron's probably not going to win the MVP this year. It's probably going to be Harden, but I think people... I don't know. I just see people, like, recognizing, like, LeBron is the greatest player ever, yeah, probably. And so they're more willing to award him than they would, like, oh, Steph Curry could be the MVP again.
I see.
But do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like, yeah. It's almost like you can transcend that fatigue because now you are a living legend.
And I think so. I see what you're saying. I don't think that's going to kick in until his, like, maybe age 29 or 30 season.
Yeah.
I think at that point it's going to be, like, super legit to start talking. Like, it already is, but then at that point it's going to be, like, almost undeniable to start actually talking about him. Well, just because he'll have the service time.
Yeah.
And then he might start getting that. But I think because I think if you look at Pujols wasn't as good as Trout, but if you look at Pujols, he should have won, like, six or seven MVPs in 10 years.
Right.
And he won, I think, three, maybe four. And so I think... That kind of goes in the middle of our point of what we're saying. I would love if Trout won every year.
Yeah.
If he's the best player, if he plays like this every year. I think the other thing that hurts him is that he never, like, his numbers are so good, but not one number pops out. He doesn't, this year maybe, he might hit 55 home runs this year.
Right.
But, like,
there's no, like, he didn't, like, Ichiro, like, 230
hits.
Yeah,
he's hitting, like, 35 home runs, which is great. Or, like, it's just that he's so completely round. That there's physically and his numbers that
he's a very circular man.
And, like, even his stolen bases, man, if he steals 30 bases this year, are you kidding me? That's amazing. But it's, like, not 60. So,
do you think that Bryce Harper having kind of a bad year makes Trout look better?
I think that comparison's over, right?
I mean, Trout obviously wins, but they are still, like, superstars of the same age, like, two most hyped prospects. Like, I think they'll always be compared, but, like, I think seeing Bryce Harper struggle makes it easier to appreciate how Mike Trout never struggles.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, watching Anthony Rizzo struggle this year, and I know that he's not even this close to the same caliber player as Trout, but he's really consistent.
Did you see the thing that I tweeted from the Duck Snort account or I retweeted that somebody who was like, Trout hadn't in his career missed reaching base in three straight games, like, since that abridged rookie season, maybe, but it was like he had never gone his entire career with a streak longer than two games.
Did it happen recently? Base.
No, it's still ongoing.
So he's, like, never gone a three-game series or more without getting on base.
Yeah.
Can you imagine facing a guy that you just know he'll get on base during the series?
It's nuts. There's a
guy named Spencer Kaboom playing for the Nationals right now.
Yeah, they have his brother's in the system, and his Carter Kaboom.
Sorry, that was a tangent. We have a Nationals Rays game on.
They just ended the no-hitter.
Oh, Kaboom did?
No, Snell.
He gave up a hit?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that was a tangent. I'm sorry. Mike Trout's
amazing. This is an interesting peek behind the curtain of Duck Snort.
Because, we have a game on.
The close listeners will note that that game that we're talking about happened on Monday night, and usually we're talking about games on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Different recordings.
Easter eggs.
Easter Monday eggs.
Easter duck eggs.
So, anyway, I think the conclusion is Trout should win MVP with those numbers.
Yeah, I do think... Like, it's hard to say enough about Jose Ramirez, though. Like,
yeah,
the fact that Jose Ramirez is the best player on the Indians.
Yeah.
A team that includes Corey Kluber and Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
Is pretty unreal.
Yeah.
And I just love that guy. Like, little, speaking of round people, like little tiny round man, third baseman who's gonna steal 30 bases and hit 45 home runs.
If I asked you who's the roundest player in baseball history, who would you say?
The roundest player in baseball
history. Who's that guy we were talking about that hit his first home run? I think he's on the Mariners or something.
Oh, yeah. That guy's round.
He's very round.
Oh, Dan Vogelbach?
Yeah, he's
round.
He's
like the
very
thing.
Round.
Yeah.
I mean, Cologne is definitely a contender.
I went straight to Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett. Late career Kirby Puckett, for
round,
sure.
Dude.
The White Sox had this dude, Warren Newsom.
Who I remember Warren
Do you
Newsom.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Who was like 5'7" and like 200 pounds or something like that. He was a round gentleman. Prince Fielder.
He got pretty round.
He got pretty... Cecil Fielder.
Cecil Fielder got pretty round. Round fielders.
We need to make a bracket of the roundest players in baseball. Well, okay. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about is that... So every week when we're planning, you know, what we want to talk about, we kind of talk about, well, like, what are the big stories in baseball this week? Like, what would it feel like, you know, we're missing out if we're not talking about it? And I feel like this year there have been a few weeks where it's like kind of tough to think of anything that is like narratively something people have been talking about for more than a day or two.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you think that's normal for this kind of time of year. Like, is it just kind of a slow time of year? Is it that baseball is being overshadowed by like World Cup and stuff like that? Or have there been less big stories in baseball this year than there were last year or in previous years?
That's a good way to phrase it. I mean, I think this is our second year doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that kind of
episode
production.
Episode 50.
That's episode 50. That's right. We didn't have that. I don't feel like in May and April and May last year, we came into it with like quite that attitude of like, what do we want to talk about? Or we had like a broader, I feel like it was less season specific. We were doing the bits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it was like there weren't like we just say like I want to talk about this and we talk about it.
Yeah.
This year we're more like what's a good story, which I think is a good approach. So maybe there's a little bit of April. I'm bringing that up because I don't know. Maybe that would have happened to us in April, May if we were sitting down the same way.
Right.
Because I think for there to be a story in April or May, there has to be like someone had to have had a no hitter or there had to have been a team that won 10 straight or there had to have been like a brawl. There had to been like something.
Right.
Like because even if Mike Trout's like crushing it on May 11th, you're like, well. It's Mike Trout. Or even if, I mean, last year, like Eric Thames we talked about. But was there even really an Eric Thames this year? Like, was there
like
a player?
Like a surprise breakout?
That was like killing it and has tapered? I guess Didi Gregorius.
Yeah, Gregorius was a big one. So what do you think the biggest story of the year so far
I
is?
I think there's the biggest story is like the attendance problem and pace of play problem still.
Interesting.
And like man tweaking everything and like that's the thing I like there are so many articles and I've ranted and I'm not going to but like there are so many articles about like baseball's broken and the pace of play problem / the three true outcomes problem, in quotes. That's the thing that I feel like I've seen the most like articles and people posting about this year. That and the Yankees are real good.
That's interesting. See, those that almost supports, I think, the idea that there hasn't been a big story, because those aren't what I would identify.
I haven't seen
a ton about necessarily either of those. Like,
we run in different baseball circles.
That's true. and just different circles, period. When we're running, we're not running in this. When we go jogging.
We go to different tracks.
Yeah, we go to different tracks. The stories that I would describe as like the biggest ones are Shohei Ohtani. Robinson Cano being suspended for steroids, and the Astros just in general, I get like the Astros pitching staff slash the Astros like 12-game winning streak that just happened. But that one even might be a little bit of recency bias.
Yeah. Joe, do you have a big story?
No, I was going to ask, Robinson Cano's in single A right now, you said?
No,
Miguel Sano.
Got
demoted to single A.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it makes sense, but it's crazy to think about.
That seems like a movie. That's like, yeah.
Well, I read that like it was this is a tangent obviously, but our the Twins spring training facility is very close to their single A team.
Oh, I see.
And so that's where a lot of their coaches are based, and so they maybe had like specific hitting instructors that he wanted that they wanted him to work with, like that's probably why he went to single A and not triple A. I mean, it still is like sort of a shock to read something like that, but I think it's less like a punishment to go to single A, and more like this is where we feel like you have the best chance of like
getting back to the
back to where we want you to be.
I missed Ohtani. I just constantly forget about Ohtani, and I don't know why.
Yeah. Because it's the Angels. Like, we've talked a little bit about that. The other one that I'd add that's a little bit more recent is Juan Soto coming up.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And just, man, that's a crazy one. Again, a tangent, but the Nationals were on Sunday Night Baseball, and it was a rain delay, so they were talking a lot about him. And, like, he was in, like, rookie ball like the year before last. It was his professional debut and he played like 30 games, and then he was only in, or maybe it was last year.
Yeah,
I think
it was
like in rookie
year.
Ball last year.
Yeah,
and
only
then he played like
19, so he'd have been 18 last
year. And so he played like 38 games in A ball and then like 7 in double A, and now he's in the freaking
and
majors.
He's doing well. I guess I don't know his numbers, but it seems like he's doing well.
He was the A ball player of the month in April, and then he was in the majors by the time they had his trophy made.
Whoa. And he had that little glitch where he played a game.
Oh, yeah.
Before his professional debut.
Because it was like a suspended game.
Yeah, and then he got in on it. He pinch hit, or I don't know what happened, but he came in, and so his debut was like May 16th, but he played a game on May 12th or something like that.
Yeah, like technically in the scorebooks or whatever.
I think Cano is a big story, but I think if the Mariners miss the playoffs especially, it's going to end up being almost a non-story.
I don't think so. That's a Hall of Fame... future Hall of Famer testing positive for steroids. I think that'll end up being one of the like 10 biggest stories of the year regardless.
I guess. Yeah.
I guess it's like, it feels to me like there's a bunch of small stories, right?
Yeah.
Like, and there's a lot of interest, like the Dodgers struggling.
Sure.
Is like an interesting thing about why they're struggling and how they're staying afloat, but it's not like a story that's going to dominate national headlines. Like, it just feels like there's few.
I think that the reason for, because the Astros thing, you're right, their pitching staff was amazing, and now all of a sudden they're hitting like 2017 Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Not really all of a sudden, well, kind of all of a sudden, but they're amazing. Altuve's hitting again, it's great, but that's an old story, you know what I mean? It was great last year because they've been building and they're fun. And now it's still fun to watch the Astros and they're still great and it's still a story, but it's like we just heard that story.
Yeah.
The Yankees is perpetually an old story. You know what I like? And so since Stanton, although his home run numbers are pretty close to his home run numbers for last year, but
yeah,
he's
hitting 250 instead.
And Judge is like not better than last year necessarily. So it's not going to reach the same level as it did last year. You know what I mean? So like all the stories are old stories. the Indians being
in first place.
Like,
I guess there really isn't. There hasn't been one player except Soto, maybe, and Ohtani to like come out of nowhere. And both of those have been limited to like Ohtani was sort of the first month of the season. And now he's hurt. Soto came up halfway. So there wasn't like anybody. There's no. I guess this is the season of Mike Trout. But besides that, I don't know who I would define like this season as being the story of one player yet or even one team yet, because I guess the Braves and Mariners are the surprising
teams.
The
Braves is a really cool story. I think the Braves is like maybe the like the biggest like new like cool story.
And they're
continuing to keep it up. That's a good one.
I wonder if this ends up being the season of Freddie Freeman.
That would be cool.
Or alternately, the season of Nick Markakis.
this is already the season of Nick Markakis' Hall of Fame.
His Hall of Fame case starting. When he gets to 3,000 hits.
I think that the road that we're on, if like the Braves and Phillies both especially make the playoffs and either knock the Nationals out or the Nationals have to play one of them for a wild card, then it's, and if like the Mariners make the playoffs, it's gonna like feel like this. That's gonna be the story.
Yeah.
Of like the new blood, especially in the National League. Because we could have like a Diamondbacks, Phillies, Braves, Brewers.
Yeah.
Playoff. Like all of those teams could like very realistically make the playoffs, which is like completely different than it has been.
Right. Yeah. Especially with the assumption before the season that there were, you know, there was this great differentiation in talent between the top team, top tier and the middle tier. And that's played out in the American League, definitely.
Yeah.
And in the National League, it hasn't at all.
Which has been fun. And I think that's been part of it.
Fun.
But I think that is a victim of being early in the season. I think now that we're pushing July, people are going, the Braves and Phillies have to be taken seriously. And the Brewers, obviously.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, I think, are starting to play better. So they're probably in there. So I think like those are going to become bigger stories because they're still here.
Yeah. I guess, well, I'd be curious for listeners to tweet at us at DuckSnortPod or email us DuckSnortPod@gmail.com. I would be curious what people think are the biggest stories of the season and if this season is lacking like a dominant storyline in the way that we remember other seasons, or if it's just because, you know, it still is not even halfway through the season and maybe a story will present itself, or like multiple storylines will present themselves as the sort of way that we remember 2018, I guess.
Oh, don't forget, what's the dude on the Twins who's on pace to break the doubles record?
Oh, Eduardo Escobar?
Yeah.
He and Jose Abreu are sort of neck and neck, or they were at least for the doubles record.
Cool.
Yeah, a doubles race.
Yeah, doubles. Great doubles. Watch out. What's his name? Earl Webb.
Yeah.
I think has a record. That's good. Good doubles.
I'd love that.
Good doubles.
Well, I think let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the Brewers. We will be right back. I don't feel better, babe. Welcome back. What a break that was, guys. All that crazy stuff that we did.
Huh? Yeah, I got my life in order.
Yeah, man. I'm real proud of you.
Just feel a lot more centered, I think, all of us do from all that stretching that we did.
We did do a nice stretching chair.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Brewers. If anybody hasn't been listening for a while, we have been doing this series in which we pick our favorite and least favorite players for every franchise in Major League Baseball, in franchise history, not present. And it's been, Joe and I were just talking about this before we started recording, but I think it's been really interesting. It's been really cool to see sort of like what your tastes are, Wayland, as far as like what kind of players you're drawn to, as well as Eric when I talked to him last week, and also for me to just sort of like go through my memory bank and be like, well, what stands out to me about these teams? What do I like in a player? Like, is it the same for across the board, or is it individually different? So very interested to hear what you guys have to say about the Brew Crew.
I think it's been fun, and I feel like when I talk to people that listen, they've liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone has, like, because everyone thinks about it, probably.
Yeah.
Or at least their own team.
Subconsciously, if not.
Yeah.
You know, because it is like when I'm thinking about the Brewers, which are not a team that I have much of an attachment to or that I, except with the exception of maybe the last couple of years, a team that I've watched a ton.
Yeah, but subconsciously you formed opinions on them.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
They're a former
yeah.
division rival.
Yeah, that's true, but not for a while.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So yeah, let's get into it. I think we should start with Joe since they are your hometown team. And you were telling me that sort of, you know, you've been following them a lot more closely in the last couple of years than you have in a long time. So I'm very curious to hear kind
gonna,
of like what you were drawn to, sort of.
It's going to sound weird. That's on screen is, oh, no, sorry. I thought I saw G-Man Choi, which was going to be my favorite, but then he got traded to the Rays.
He got traded like a few days ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I really like him though. But yeah, so I was going to say, My opinions probably don't mean much because I've only been following them for the last couple of years, like intensely. But before that, I knew who like Ricky Weeks was or like Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my favorite this season for sure is Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's just like the best teammate. He makes spectacular plays.
My favorite Royal of all time.
I miss him.
So he's just a pleasure to watch. And he's like one of those people that's kind of a ham, but you're on his side, you know, like he'll make a really great play and then just like cheese it up for the crowd.
Oh, he's a big cheese ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's endearing. It's not annoying.
That's great. So like that combination is enough to sort of overtake any memories of Brewers from childhood or anything like that.
Yeah. Of course there's like Hank Aaron or, like I loved Paul Molitor growing up,
mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you like any of his stats or anything or like, why I liked him.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting to me because like I think the Brewers have often struggled with kind of engaging their fans and getting people out to the ballpark. I mean, certainly, you know, over the prior to, I guess, getting CC Sabathia, what was that? That was like 9 years ago or something like that, 2006 maybe. So prior to that especially, but even in the time since, it's like they haven't had too many guys that they can market or show off as like, this is a guy that you should watch the Brewers
well,
to see
this guy. Well,
they
were really pushing for like Braun to be the head of it. And then
he did steroids.
Yeah, then he got fucked.
But even he is like, I don't know, maybe it's just personal preference, but like he's a bro in a Ed Hardy shirt. Like,
that brings me to my least favorite player, Ryan Braun.
Okay.
It's like the opposite of Lorenzo Cain. He doesn't have, I don't want to be on his side. He just seems like a college bro dude that like never grew out of that college mindset. I know he's talented. I know he's got chops, but like,
there's a lot of baggage there for sure. Yeah. And there is, you know, it's always going to be personal preference, obviously, for something like that. But I think all of us, just as people, are pretty far from Ryan Braun as a person, like, in that way. So that makes
sense.
What
a heel turn he made, I feel like.
Huge heel turn.
I feel like
very,
you know,
Lance Armstrong.
10 years ago or 8 years ago, or I don't know how long he's been in the league. Probably, he's probably been 10 years now, right?
At least, yeah.
So like 8 years ago or 7 years ago, I feel like he was like a darling.
Yeah,
people
well, he was
him.
This. He was the best homegrown player that the Brewers had brought up.
But I feel like Major League Baseball at large, like he was like a fun, cool young, like him and Votto were kind of coming up at the same time, and I feel like they were like considered like fun and like good. I don't like, maybe it was just like an NL Central thing, but I feel like Braun took a heel turn.
I think his biggest downfall was continuing to wear Ed Hardy. Like eventually it's going to come around where it's cool again, but it's not at that point.
He'll ditch it by then.
Yeah. Hard to rehab your image when you're being photographed out with like lion/dragon shirts.
Yeah, it's like, what is it?
Is it a lion or a dragon?
I think if we saw Lorenzo Cain wearing a lion shirt, we'd all be like, yeah.
That's cool.
Because it would be like ironic and funny if he did.
Lorenzo Cain, does he have a player, Lorenzo Cain, like on the Brewers that he's like seemingly like besties with?
I feel like him and Christian Yelich are like, because they got
the two new guys.
Yeah, and they're like, we're the new guys. We should band together. We're gonna be hanging out in the outfield together.
His relationship with Salvador Perez and the Royals was like an all-time great like relationship. So fun to watch.
I did see like a glint of like, there was an amazing play, I think it was last week or the week before, where Arcia was like tracking a ball backwards, and it was like you didn't know if it was going to happen or not, if he was going to catch his pop fly. And of course, like, it popped out of his glove, and Lorenzo Cain was there to like scoop it up, went out of his glove. Like, he like fell and caught it, and you could tell that they were like pals. Ooh,
yeah, Arcia Cain.
Yeah, and they're like laughing together. Dude,
if the Brewers end up winning that division, like, Lorenzo Cain, I feel like even just this, I believe in clubhouse presence, guys.
Is that definitely
a controversial thing?
Yeah. No, there's like
clubhouse presence, guys.
Like, we're a horrible baseball team, but we have the best dugout. Like, yeah, in our league.
You mean our league?
Yeah, yeah, our league. Yeah. Oh, we're horrible. We're truly horrible.
We got a lot of clubhouse guys.
It's all clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so it's fun. It's a fun team.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't
sucks.
It doesn't matter when you lose when you have a fun.
But so Cain is a good free agent signing, I think.
Yeah.
Beyond even like, because there were questions about like, do both these guys fit in the same outfield? And like, they both have been playing great, which has been good because Santana has not been playing good and got optioned to the minors. And I think like that speaks to like the Brewers made a good choice in sort of pushing their chips into the table and being like, you know, Cain and Yelich are guys who like we want to bring in because we value obviously their on-field contributions. But like it also says something about where we are as a team and what we want to how we want to bring fans into the fold and stuff. So I think that's cool. I think that's really cool that he's your favorite. And yeah, they did need a new face of the franchise, I think. Like, I think they were going to struggle if Braun continued to be the face of the franchise. Even if they were good, they were going to struggle to market themselves in a way.
Yeah. I think their biggest superstar right now is like, I don't know about recently, but Hader.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
really
he's,
killing
he's
it.
He's really killing
it. Yeah. If he keeps this up for a few years, he would have to scale my list of favorite Brewers for sure. Which I guess I could say my favorite Brewer of all time is not a player. He was a player, but he didn't actually play for the Brewers. He played for the Braves. Yep, Bob Uecker is my favorite Brewer of all time.
I get it.
Here was my thought process, I guess. I did go through a few guys of like, oh, I did really like them. And like the guy I came closest to choosing was Greg Vaughn. Mm-hmm. You know, slugger in the 90s in the outfield, sort of when I was really getting into baseball as a kid. His name was Greg, which I liked when I was like 9 years
You're
old.
You're such a homer like for your Gaddy. Name.
Yeah, I'm a big Greg homer. But like, I don't know, like he was a good player. He sort of busted out. Like, I like that he was Mo Vaughn's little brother, sort of like, or cousin. There was a lot of things that I liked about him, I guess. But like to me that says something about my relationship with the Brewers a little bit, which is like I'm not invested in them and they were bad for a really long time. If Greg Vaughn is like the best player that I could think and of,
your least favorite is Bernie.
Bernie the Brewer?
Yeah,
I love Bernie the Brewer, man. But Bob Uecker is like he's been with the Brewers essentially since they came into existence, I think, like maybe 1 or 2 years in. And like he's an iconic baseball person, voice, like whatever you want to call it. Like he will be remembered long after most players who played for the Brewers are remembered. And like I don't have any attachment to Paul Molitor or Robin Yount. You know, apparently you do. So I don't know. What do you guys think of? Is that a valid choice?
I think that's very valid. I think you do that. It makes me want to change my answer because I love Bob Uecker. He's my favorite announcer. Should I do my favorite or are you going to do your least?
No, I'll do my least favorite since Joe did his.
Yeah.
My least favorite is Francisco Rodriguez. I almost chose Braun, but like I guess I don't. Like the reason I think Francisco Rodriguez is my least favorite is because he seems like a shitty dude. Like he pitched well for them, but like he got shortly before he was on the Brewers, he got arrested for assaulting his girlfriend's dad. Ugh. While he was on the Brewers, he got arrested for domestic violence with the mother of his child.
Ugh.
The Brewers kept signing him because they were a cheap team and he was a good reliever who was discounted because a lot of people wouldn't sign him. And like, that I think is an example of like a small market owner being shitty and like kind of sacrificing, you know, some moral standing. And so like, I guess what it comes down to is like, I'm much more willing to forgive a guy who like used steroids and got suspended and then like came back and whatever.
Don't forget about the Ed Hardy stuff.
I'm even willing to forgive
Ed Hardy.
Yeah. Then like a guy like that who like never really served any punishment. Like he was never suspended. He made all-star teams after these, like, it's like, okay, if you're gonna let a guy come back and like make a living or whatever, that's fine, but he should, you know, he should pay some kind of price. Like if he's not gonna be suspended, he shouldn't make the all-star team. Like that yeah. is not a dude who I want to see representing the best and the yeah. brightest of MLB, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's my least favorite, I
guess. That's a good pick. That's
a, yeah.
Well, what about you?
Well,
start with your least favorite.
Yeah, it's
so
Ryan
that
Braun.
We can
it's
transition.
Gonna be Ryan Braun.
Okay, yours is Braun.
But now you're making me feel bad. I love the domestic abuser. I hate Ryan Braun.
I want to hear about your beef with Robin Yount, though.
Oh, I'll get there. I almost thought about Robin Yount. Well, I'll just say it right now. The only reason I have beef with, literally the only reason, I don't even remember him playing. The only reason I have beef with him is because he was in a race for 3,000 hits against George Brett. They had a race because they had the similar hit totals, and Yount beat him, and so I made a 1993 9-year-old Robin Yount made a 9-year-old enemy by beating George Brett to 3,000 hits, and I will forever love that Brett ended up with more hits than Yount in the end. So
I mean, it doesn't matter who gets more; it's who gets there first.
I beg to differ. So I almost picked Robin Yount for that one petty reason. Yeah.
I think that
Robin
would have been
Yount
a fair choice. Fair but hilarious choice.
I hated him when I was a kid. And if it wasn't for Ryan Braun's continued douchiness and the fact that like I'm obligated as a Cubs fan to say Ryan Braun, it would be Robin Yount. Yeah. I don't have anything more to say about Braun than we'd already said.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Favorite all time, probably Paul Molitor. He was real great, but I can't pick him as like the Brewer I liked to watch because I don't remember him on the Brewers because I think he left the Brewers in the early 90s. Like yeah. I remember Molitor on the Twins, the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays first, and the Twins like mostly.
Yeah,
so he's not like a Brewer in my lifetime. This is Timmy.
He went back to the Brewers at the end of his career, maybe
because
I
might
think
have done one of those.
Briefly, the Tucson Sidewinders, which was the AAA team when I was growing up, were the Brewers affiliate. And I think he played like a rehab game there and I got his autograph.
Paul Molitor?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Are all of the Arizona teams named after snakes?
Yeah, they got to be. It's the law.
Yeah, it is an Arizona
Joe Arpaio made it the law.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm wrong. He did not go back to the Brewers, but I definitely remember getting his autograph at a minor league baseball game.
But he was great. He was fun. He was cool to watch.
Yeah.
But so he's probably my favorite all time. I had the same problem you did, Greg, about there's not been like a Brewer that has stuck out to me.
I think it speaks to their irrelevance for so long.
Like until this recent, like until like they have become relevant and now we're like, it honestly feels like Cubs fans hate them more than they hate the Cardinals. Like
really?
Cubs fans.
Well, Milwaukee's closer.
Yeah, and I'm glad because that's like 100% of the reason that they moved the NL is to be rivals with the Cubs.
Yeah,
like because it wasn't happening with the White Sox. They're like, and so I'm glad, and it's great, and it's fun, and like I am starting to like sports hate the Brewers, but before that I always liked them, like the way that I like the Mariners or like the Expos, you know?
Right.
But so I don't like I think it might be Zach Greinke, like because I never stopped liking him, and that's where he went right after the Royals.
I gave half a thought to Greinke. He was really good with the Brewers.
Or Prince Fielder is the other one I thought of. I really enjoyed watching Prince Fielder play, and like cause I like big round guys that that hit dingers, and I always liked him better than Howard. And I feel like those always were stuck like the way Harper and Trout were, they came up around the same time.
Oh,
and
I liked
dingers.
Howard a lot better.
I always liked Prince Fielder a lot more, and I don't know. I like when the son of a good major leaguer is also good, which is why I couldn't be more excited for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He's healthy. Because also, Vlad Guerrero was like my favorite player.
Yeah.
Like for so long.
I was thinking about Fielder earlier today because the ESPN body issue just came out. And I remember when he was in the body issue and it was like this big deal.
And then he became vegan. I'm going to say it's Prince Fielder. I think Prince Fielder is my favorite brewer from the time of me watching the Brewers.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, I think it's Prince Fielder.
I think so.
Because I was bummed. I was bummed when he went to the Tigers. I liked him on the Brewers. Yeah, it's Prince Fielder.
That's a pretty solid choice. I think he was the face of the Brewers for a while.
What's Braun dropped off?
Well, they were sort of contemporary, I think, right? Maybe Fielder came along a little bit earlier.
They were around the same time for, I feel like at least 5 years.
I just think I think Fielder was a bigger star than he was like a good baseball player. Like he was good, but not great. You know what I mean? But I think he was a star because he was Cecil Fielder's son, because his name was Prince. Like I remember when he was drafted, there was immediately a lot of attention on him. And then he came up and like hit 50 home runs his second year or whatever. And so he was like this big star, this face of the franchise, I think, even before Braun. And then they chose to invest in Braun, which I guess was a wise choice. If you're going to pick two, probably, since Prince Fielder is retired now. But, yeah, I think that's a solid choice. Yeah. I'll say, like, the other guy that I almost picked was CC Sabathia, even though he was only there for a half year. He was so down. Like, he carried the Brewers to the playoffs for the first time in, like, 20 years.
I think he was top 10 Cy Young that year.
Yeah, even though he pitched, I think he was top five. Like
he might have been.
Yeah, even though he pitched only 15 games because he was so dominant. And the entire like month of September, he went on 3 days rest like every time out because it was such a close race. So
that
I
was
thought,
crazy.
Like, of players I associate with the Brewers, he stands kind of like the impact that he had was outsized for the amount of time that he was there, you know?
I'm surprised no one has mentioned Ricky Weeks at all.
Ricky Weeks or J.J. Hardy.
J.J. Hardy I really liked when he was on the Brewers, and he's from Tucson,
Corey
actually. Corey Hart. Jeremy Burnitz was another
guy. Burnitz I thought about, or Sexton.
Oh, yeah, Sexton.
Yeah.
They've had some sluggers, man. They've had some one-dimensional sluggers on the Brewers.
Or Gary Sheffield. We could have done Gary Sheffield.
Sheffield, sure.
Raleigh Fingers.
Raleigh Fingers. That's another one.
Sorry. I'm just like...
Cecil Cooper. Gorman Thomas. Some Harvey Wallbangers.
They've had a lot of like...
Pete Vukovich.
They've certainly had more like good players who will not be remembered historically than... like great players, you know what I mean? I guess that's probably true of every team, but like I feel like there are a ton of Brewers. Like Cecil Cooper is like a guy who I barely even know who he is, but I know he was good, but like he's not somebody that anybody would ever talk about like in a historical context, really.
No I mean, he's like Moises Alou, you know? Like it's like when we watch him, it's like Moises Alou's a good player, but it's like when are we ever gonna talk about him again unless he's throwing a fit,
unless he peed on his hands.
I think that it's not that they had a lot of players I don't like. It's just none stood out to me to be my favorite. Like, I think all these guys we talked about, it's like, I liked them, but I didn't have, like, I didn't attach myself to a Brewer.
Yeah. Kind of similarly, like, there weren't a lot of players to think about as my least favorite either. It was really Braun or Rodriguez were the two guys that came to mind. And I was, like, kind of digging, like, is there anybody I remember, like, really beating up on the White Sox or, like, anybody? Yeah, but, like, not, like, those teams, when they were good with that, like, J.J. Hardy, Prince Fielder, Ricky Weeks team, like, those guys were all likable.
Yeah.
And you do kind of, you did kind of root for them for a long time because they were so bad for so long.
Yeah, it's like the Padres.
Yeah.
Like, you want them to do well because they don't have a history of it.
It was such a rude awakening coming out here and realizing that, like, no one even realizes that Milwaukee has, like, a baseball team.
Yeah, I guess they really kind of are known for, like, the Bernie the Brewer and the sausage races.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
just the gimmicks and
I mean,
like Bob Uecker.
Uecker is my favorite brewer. Like, you're right. Like, Bob Uecker is 100% my favorite brewer.
Yeah.
Someone actually thought, like, they didn't know. I talked to someone, they didn't know that the Brewers were a team. And then they thought that the Brewers, they were like, oh, you mean the beers? Like, from basketball?
I mean, Brewers, here's the thing I'll say about, here's who I should have picked for my favorite player, is the logo.
The logo is the
best logo in sports history. Yeah. Is that original Brewers logo.
Yeah.
They have a great name, had a great logo.
Yeah.
I love the idea of somebody, you talking about baseball, and somebody be like, no, you mean basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting confused here.
I rewatched Baseball when I was in Europe.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I've never seen it.
There's a lot of jokes that don't hold up.
I think my favorite joke is when he cuts his finger off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot of homophobic jokes in it.
Yeah.
That don't hold up super great. But it's a Zucker movie, though. Did you know that?
The what?
The dudes that made like Naked Gun and Airplane.
Oh, no.
They made it. Trey Parker and Matt Stone did not write it.
I know. Whoa. They didn't write it. Yeah, they were just cast in it, which is weird as hell. But
yeah.
It's perfect casting. It sounds like something they would come up with, too.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Interesting to talk about the Brewers. Yeah. I feel like I'm just patting ourselves on the back for like having an idea to do this series, but and like it's been really fun.
You know what the true pat on the back is this is a 30-part series.
Yeah,
it's never gonna end.
This is never.
We have like 25.
Left. Can't cancel us, Boardwalk.
You gotta finish the series.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Just a quick programming note is that we will not have an episode next week because Waylon and I are both out of town, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be getting close to the trade deadline and the All-Star game and stuff, so lots of good stuff. So stay tuned then. Thanks again to Boardwalk and Off the Bench for their continued support. Thanks to Joey Joe Weber for coming by and for producing and editing the show. Check us out on the internet. DuckStormerPod on Twitter, DuckStormerPodcast.com, DuckStormerPod@gmail.com. Thanks to Moonbounds for our transition music. And I think that's it. We will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Snort you later.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.